Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
You guys have a good Halloweenies?
Yeah, Bree came to visit, and she brought candy with her.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
So I've been eating candy for the past few days.
Dang, that's rad.
What day was Halloween?
Thursday.
What happened Thursday?
Halloween.
Yeah, I don't... Well, yeah, but I mean, I didn't participate in Halloween on Thursday. I'm trying to remember what else happened that day. Coming up with nothing. I don't know. I finally beat Dragon Quest VIII after 3 years.
Ooh, how'd that go?
Nice. Congrats.
I love it. I would say it's a top three Dragon Quest for me. It only took so long because I was streaming it, and it's very, very hard for me to like consistently stream anything. So would have taken a lot sooner had I started it, or maybe not.
Which version did you play?
PS2. I had I have a brand new copy that I opened specifically to stream it.
Was it the one with the Final Fantasy demo?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was nice. It had like the slightly larger box and everything, like the cardboard box.
Nice.
Yeah.
Initial print run. Yeah, baby.
Pretty cool.
Something like that. It wasn't very expensive either. Well, back then when I bought it, it was like, you know, it was before 2020. I know that much. Because, yeah, it was like $40 maybe. So we don't, you know, those prices don't exist anymore. Although it was very popular. So it's like, you know, it's not rare at all. Pretty easy to score a copy. So I don't know. Maybe it's still relatively cheap.
Yay!
Didn't it sell like 8 million copies or something like that?
On PS2? Something like that. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know. And it takes 3 years to beat, so I don't know how many of those people like really played it very much, you know?
Speaking of years, we have 2 1-year subversaries to celebrate tonight. Injury Whoa. Just subbed for the 12th month, and earlier on, Thimber subbed for the 12th month.
Dang.
Such a waste of money.
Yeah, I know.
Could have been out there buying votes.
Purnell says he'll be here in about 5 to 7 minutes, but I'm just recording all this anyway. Just pretend we started already.
I always pretend we started.
Just assume the moment anyone shows up, we have started.
Yeah, basically. I don't even want to do an intro to, like, let's just pretend this is the final episode at this point.
If we can October pretend 1st. That's the case and I can just keep requesting porn games anyways, then sure. I'm happy with that.
October 1st, 1997, the end day. Anybody who can name that game is a real champ.
Sure, shit ain't me.
That's not Chrono Trigger, is it?
No.
Oh, that's 99.
Chrono Trigger's end day is sometime in 1999.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a date given, but I could be wrong. Wait a minute. No, there is a date given, but I don't remember what it is. Let me see.
I don't know.
Are we talking about a game being released that year or that year being mentioned in a game? I'm not sure what direction we're going with the shit.
Let's go classic. Terminator game or Judge Dredd game or...
y'all have to remember, I was still in the fucking single digits at this point. I don't know this answer.
I will say that very close, because Judgment Day in Terminator 2 is August 29th, 1997.
Dang.
So same year, but this is not the game.
It's the game. I'm stumped.
Give me a hint. Give me a hint.
Let's see. Well, of course, the game came out in 1990 on the NES. on and nothing
NES.
Else.
I was going to say Phantasy Star, but that's not NES at all.
Yeah, I don't think it had, well, I don't know, maybe it has an apocalypse in it. I don't think it
Croc does. Legend of the Gobblos.
That's a PS2 title.
I was going to say, is that what came out on? Is that what came out on October 1st? That. So that's kind of clever.
I liked Croc too. I thought that was a fun game.
I have no idea.
It was cute. It was one of those little mascot games.
Anybody said anything in chat? I'm not even in there yet.
No, just Croc.
Just Croc. Chat, y'all got anything for me? Come on, you guys know video games.
I'm stumped.
End of Days in 1997. I am...
Yeah, October 1st. October 1st, 1997. The End Day.
Thank you.
I'm just Googling it at this point.
Yeah.
I wonder if it'll show up. It might. It's not that obscure. Yeah, you got it.
Ew.
No.
Never would have gotten that one.
Crystalis on the NES. It's the first thing you see after the SNK logo.
Crystalis. Yeah. I don't know that game.
Never would have guessed that one.
That's okay.
Well, you did guess that one.
Well, yeah. I looked it up. You started looking it up, and I was slightly faster on the keyboard. So
someone just didn't want to lose. That's all. Fair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, I'm an Aries. I'm competitive.
So, yeah, what do y'all think about Croc getting a re-release?
I'm cool with it.
Just about everybody's gotten a re-release at this point. I mean, Arrow the Acrobat is on two systems now. I mean, that aren't the SNES. Well, actually, it may be on other consoles as well, but I mean, like, it's released on Evercade as well as Switch and others, maybe.
Yeah, it's on everything.
Like, if Arrow the Acrobat can show back up, then Croc Legend of the Gobblos can show back up, too.
There's a bunch of games I would like remakes of, but for that, Sony would have to, you know, fuck off and sell off some of its IP that it hasn't touched in forever.
If they fucked off, aren't they already fucking off by not doing anything? They would have to fuck in or fuck no, on.
They need to fuck off and leave fuck all their around. Shit to other people, not fuck off
well,
with their shit.
That's not happening ever. They're not going to sell their IP.
Clearly.
Fuck diagonal.
Why would they?
Exactly. They need to fuck diagonally, yes.
There we go. This episode, I would, diagonally.
I would like the rest of the Onimusha games to get remakes, not just the first one, because I fucking love the Onimusha games. Those are like some of my favorite games. I would like the Dark Cloud games to get remakes, because I really liked those when I was a little kid. And obviously Legend of Dragoon. I mean, I would love an up-to-date graphics version of that. That would be fucking amazing. And it would probably fit on one disc. So, even better.
What? One disc for that game? That'd be
great.
What was it, four back in the day?
Yep.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, if you want to play the Dark Cloud games and Legend of Dragoon, you can play them on PS5.
Yeah, but then you're just getting the old one, just being able to play it on the new console. I want a remake of them.
I mean, I want better than
graphics. True. I mean, if I really want to play them, it's called an emulator.
Although we don't do that on this show.
It's legal if you own the games.
You own the games?
Yes.
Okay, well, play ball.
I still have them on disc. It's just my, you know, most PlayStations, mine like most, is a broke piece of shit and don't work no more. I would love to fix it, because I have a thick one and a thin one. They both are broken in different ways, and I would love the thick one to be repaired, because that thing was a beast.
Crazy.
But, oh well.
I found a PS1 in my neighbor's backyard one time, and I fixed it.
Nice. In the backyard?
In the backyard, yeah. It was like, it had been back there for, I don't know how long, but I was like, maybe 10 or 11? And we like took it apart and dried it out and like re-soldered it and stuff. And they were like, yeah, if you can fix it, it's yours. And so I did. It was awesome.
I would love to be as competent as you apparently are. That would be fantastic.
I had some help from, I think my uncle helped me or something like that. But
I can't even repair a fucking controller, you know, so I'm doomed.
Well, it depends on what the controller repair is.
For me, it's usually the sticks breaking on the inside. It just requires you to replace a chunk of it. It's just too difficult for someone as dumb as I am.
How hard are you on controllers? Jeez.
It's not so much that I'm hard on them. It's, I'll use them until they break because I won't buy a new one.
Hockey's playing all those porn games, so...
That's on mouse and keyboard.
Oh, well.
And those are cheap to replace, so... Now,
I'm sure some of them have controller support, right?
I haven't seen one because almost all of them that I've played are point and click or visual novels, and they don't control with a controller. They would defeat the purpose.
Gotcha.
Do you remember?
I'm sure there's probably one that does.
Do you remember? There's a from God of War. The like little sexual mini games.
Yes.
To get more. That's
was
just
that
what
a
I'm
question?
Well, I'm just anybody in here too. You know where it's like, oh, you got to press X and triangle and this, and you just hear Kratos like, ugh.
I hated that.
Then you get a bunch of gems. I was like, fuck yeah, that's awesome.
That was so wild back in the day, seeing that on PS2. I'm like, wow, they could show this?
Yeah, and they still got really upset about the hot coffee mod. Something I don't understand. A bunch of fully clothed people dry humping. Ooh,
yeah.
The horror.
So, Pernell's here. Pernell, how are you doing?
Drunk.
You're drunk? Darn.
I approve. Yeah.
I said I was going to be drunk. I got drunk because, yes.
Sounds good.
Reasonable.
Anyone How else are drinking doing? Tonight?
I didn't know we were supposed to drink tonight.
You weren't supposed to, but you had a choice to drink, and I chose alcoholism.
I don't drink very often. When I do, I drink a bunch, but I don't drink often.
I'll go grab something.
That has been really easy to do.
All right, I'll go grab some.
That's the spirit.
Booze. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
I'm going to make myself some rattlesnakes. Fuck it.
Hooch it up.
What exactly are rattlesnakes? I don't think I've had those before.
They're poisonous reptiles who slither across the ground.
It's a mixture of three different alcohols. Cream de coco, Kahlua, and Irish cream. It makes something that tastes kind of like chocolate with a alcohol aftertaste. Ooh. Delicious.
Sounds great. Good.
And if you drink it fast enough, it just tastes like chocolate the whole time. So
Even delicious in both too.
It's made to be done in shots. I tend to drink them by the glass.
You gotta listen to that song "Rattlesnake" by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard while you drink them too.
Mm-hmm. The Gizzard
that
Lizard
name sounds so familiar.
It's a good band.
Popular band. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They are a good band.
Yeah, but popular bands for the rest of y'all aren't popular bands with me.
Well, that's how it is for all of us. I just came from music trivia night, and I can tell you right now, it wasn't the kind of genre of music that I would have won at. That's for damn sure.
Like, what kind of trivia did they ask?
It was genre-based, like, or airtime-based, like, 70s, 80s, 90s. Oh, sorry, but it wasn't trivia, it was bingo. So you had to know the actual song itself that came up. And they did the 70s, they did the 80s, and they did alternative music.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It was nice. And the funny part is I recognized a number of the songs just by virtue of, like, you know, you would hear them in passing on the radio and stuff like that. But I couldn't name any of the artists for the most, not all the time, but a lot of times I couldn't name the artist or I couldn't name the name of the song, even though I knew the sound of it.
They just, like, play a bit of it and then make you guess?
Exactly. You'd play a bit of it and then you'd hope that it's on your bingo card. And if it is, you swipe it. And if you get bingo in a hole, you get, I don't know, a cookie or something.
Nice.
I wouldn't know. I didn't win.
I can't drink today.
Why?
Because I went and grabbed my booze, and then I remembered I hadn't eaten yet. If I can't drink on an empty stomach, I immediately get violently ill.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm good. If I have some
candy you can put down?
If I eat too much candy, I'll be sick too. Or else, trust me, that I would. If that was the case, I wouldn't have any more Halloween candy. But I can't eat a bunch of that, or else I'll get sick too. And I don't even want to fathom the concept of mixing that with alcohol. Oh.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Reese's.
What's your least 100%. Favorite Halloween candy?
Anything gummy related. I don't like gummies.
But like Reese's Pieces or like the cups?
Reese's peanut butter cups. I hate nice. Pieces. The shell tastes weird.
You taste weird.
Yeah.
It didn't work right.
I like.
Disagree.
No, it did not. I do like Reese's Pieces, though. I will admit that. I like Reese's Cups, too. I will say I prefer Reese's Cups to Reese's Pieces, but when I was a kid, it was the opposite. I prefer pieces to the regular cups.
See, I'm used to the shell of M&M's, and the shell of Reese's is different. It has a different flavoring in it, and I don't like it.
Let's be honest. How many of us say Reese's Pieces? Because I do.
Reese's Pieces.
I say Reese's Pieces.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy, beautiful cover girl.
Yeah. I might start saying it that way now, though.
Easy breezy, beautiful cover girl.
Hell yeah.
Easy breezy, beautiful cover girl forever.
I'm kind of curious about this music bingo, though. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. I mean, I don't, even if I wasn't really particularly like, that wasn't like my wheelhouse of music, though, then again, I'd have to go to England to be in my wheelhouse of music. But it was just fun. I enjoyed it, and it was nice to kind of get out because a friend of mine who was like, hey, Pernell, you should get out more often with us. Come hang out with me and my friends. I was like, thank you. I appreciate that because I want to get out more often. Get away from my usual hybrid of like video games and board games. So it was nice.
That's pretty awesome, man.
I wonder if we could like retool that into something for MAGFest, like video game music bingo.
Probably.
I don't see why you couldn't. The only issue would probably be like stepping on like the whole whatever the thing is that
tune Tim that Tim does. Yeah, they could complement each other pretty well, though.
Oh, they absolutely could.
They could combine together.
Nobody owns the concept of video game music except Nintendo, I guess. But
and Sony. Don't forget Sony. Sony.
I think video game bingo would be especially good though, because with regular music for bingo, people can Shazam it if they don't know. I don't think you can Shazam VGM.
Oh, no, you certainly cannot. People in my club.
You don't know it. You literally don't know it.
People in my club are always like, I have this file from like 2001, and like I don't know what it is. Can somebody help me find it? I'm like,
exactly. Oh, see, it's like, there it is. So if you win a music trivia bingo, VGM music bingo, you deserve it. Either that or you were on a team of people who gave each other the answers. Either way, it still works. And I liked it.
Did anybody play anything fun over the weekend?
Review games?
I played a lot of games over the weekend, believe it or not.
I didn't
play games. If it weren't for reviews, I probably wouldn't play games as much as I used to, though not to say I don't like them, because god damn, I keep buying them. But
I definitely would. I'd just start playing more games for me.
My weekend was mostly, like I said, Dragon Quest VIII, getting both endings in the game, because it's got a couple. I also 100%ed, but I got the true ending, quote-unquote, of Ast Libra Gaiden.
Nice. So,
yeah, that game I reviewed literally just last week. So,
congrats.
It's good. I like it. I think that it's, my review is still stands. Good. Yeah.
Saw the ending of the game hours. Terrible.
It won't even tell me how many hours I put into it so far, because it says first played 7 days ago. But it's over 30 hours, I think, that I put into it. Yeah. But I mean, that's compared to 90 hours to get the final ending of the first game. So, you know, that's still is pretty good.
That's a good chunk of time. How close are you to your 50?
I'm working on... Ast Libra Gaiden was 37, I think. 36. Let me look. But yeah, I'm pretty close. Like, I think I can get it. 37. Yeah, so I have 13 more to go.
Nice.
A month and a half? Ooh, boy.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of quick games that can be played to, you know, to push me over the line there. But I'm actually working on Order of Ecclesia from Castlevania Dominus Collection right now.
Ooh.
I'm at the, I'm going to call it the halfway point of the game, but, you know, I don't want to spoil it or anything, but yeah, just kind of, it's going well.
Has anyone checked out the Castlevania DLC for Vampire Survivors?
I haven't yet. I need to.
What was that pronounced?
I bought it. Does that count?
Did you play it?
Of course not. I bought it. Does that count?
Sure, it counts.
Nope. Oh, I mean, yes. Yes. My bad.
Please make it count. I buy for opportunity, despite not having the time. Makes
it's
me feel
a,
like
it's a really cool map. I it was a lot bigger than I expected, and we're gonna talk about it next episode. So, you know, if the world doesn't end before added, then,
so they added one map
and a bunch of characters. 20,
yeah, like
20. I heard
20 characters and like 40 weapons, something like that.
That actually floors me that they were able to add 20 characters in one map. It's like Jesus.
That's crazy. 30 new music tracks.
Wow.
And again, yeah, 30 and music tracks.
The biggest stage like yet. And apparently still zero vampires. So
I would assume Dracula was the boss that comes out in the castle. It's not him.
I don't know. I didn't beat it. It's a huge map. It takes multiple playthroughs to beat the map.
How is that possible?
Because there's teleports. Wild.
I remember when this game was like.
But I thought the game didn't save progress. Like you beat them, you finish one run, you start a new run. How is it multiple runs to beat the map?
Because you like there's bosses that you have to beat, and there's checkpoints that like the little keystone shaped teleporters that are in some of the Castlevanias. Those are in the game, and you can teleport from one area to later in the map. Depending on how far you got previously.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat map. I only played it once so far, but I'm enjoying it.
Looks cool.
And it's friggin' $4.
Yeah, that's something I always found amazing about their DLC is always peanuts.
It's insane.
I respect it, though. Respect it and appreciate it.
So anything else anyone play over the weekend?
I guess I started playing Chrono Trigger again, even though I didn't get to play much of it because of time. But that is a really good like RPG / deck builder. So it's not so much. It has roguelike elements, but you are playing through a JRPG of sorts with the deck and different party members and all, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'll play things that made you happy. I played things that pissed me off.
What game would that be?
I went back and started playing Gardens of Banban again, because back when I reviewed the first four of them, the achievements weren't live, so I was like, I'll go back and I'll get those, and I remember why I don't particularly like those games.
Is that played a spoiler through Gardens alert for later in the show?
Kind of. I played through Gardens of Banban. I've played through that like three or four times this weekend trying to get the achievements in that fucking game.
Boy, here, Gardens of Banban.
Yeah, yeah, and it's terrible. Don't. And yeah, I still don't have the achievements because some of them are just glitchy little fuckers in the.
Wait, so you don't like the game, but you're still going for the achievements?
Yes, I want to 100% them. I have achievements in one. I need to get them all.
What do you think of this game? Biggest piece of shit I've ever played. What are you going to do? I'm going to 100% that shit.
Well,
hell yeah.
What do you think I like multiplayer in Halo? I have every one of the Halo games 100%ed except for the newest one. And that includes fucking Master Chief Collection and all of its DLC. I fucking hate multiplayer games. I have all like 9,000 achievements in those fucking games. Great. 9,000 gamer score, whatever.
Great googly moogly.
That's just self-inflicted punishment at that point.
Yes, I hate myself. How can you tell?
there were signs. There were signs.
Yeah.
You're playing Halo.
Well,
you were playing Halo.
Halo's okay. It's not amazing, but it is okay. I'm not going to complain until it comes to multiplayer. The single player, it's fine. The multiplayer is fucking an arduous trek of dog shit, but I'm not a multiplayer person, so meh.
I beat Resident Evil 8. That was pretty cool.
Nice. 100%ed?
No, just beat it.
Oh. Okay.
Because you want to be bad.
I'm not much of an achievement hunter or anything like that. But I had never played the Resident Evil games, so I beat 7 earlier in the month and then picked up 8 and beat
its ass. You just have to pick up 2, 3, and 4.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Four, 2, 3, and 4, really, really good.
Yeah.
They usually have bundles right on now. Sale for like $20-$30 of multiple games on discount.
It's in my cart right now. I'm just waiting to press go on it.
Nice.
I think 2 is still my favorite of the bunch of the main lines. 4, I love to death, but I always treat 4 as its own game because it kind of changed the game as a whole once that one came out.
Yeah, I own 2 and 3 remakes, but I haven't actually played either of them. I've only played 4 upwards.
Speaking of 2 and 3, the ex-Latino, he just subbed for the 23rd month.
Yo,
way to put that together.
2 and 3.
That's pretty good.
I don't know how I feel about that. I kind of want to slap you, but that was also really good.
Solid. I'm proud of you.
Latino, thank you so much for the support. Enjoy the emotes. Enjoy the kitty cats.
Thanks, Latino.
Should we get to games we got to talk about? Because we could segue into what Andy's been playing with the first game to discuss tonight. Does that sound good to you guys?
Is he playing Latino Heat?
Oh, my.
Oh, maybe.
Kinky, I approve.
Yeah, you do.
That's good. Latino Heat, the game.
All right, first game is a preview of Monster Hunter Wilds beta, developed and published by Capcom. It's releasing February 28th on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $69.99. The unbridled force of nature runs wild and relentless, with environments transforming drastically from one moment to the next. This is a story of monsters and humans and their struggle to live in harmony in a world of duality. Andy, you checked out the beta for this. How was it? Did you have fun with it?
I had a blast, man. End of review. Go buy it. Go buy the full thing.
Cool, Andy. It's been good having you on.
It's been great. Thank you, guys. No, honestly, yeah, I mean, it only lasted a couple of days, and I'm new to the Monster Hunter world. I've never played a Monster Hunter game, unless you count a couple of minutes on the 3DS, which I don't count that. That was trash. It only lasted for a few days, but honestly gave the community and people looking to kind of get into the series a chance to give it a shot. You know, Capcom's been hyping this game up for a while. And I've been kind of talking about it in my stream and stuff here and there. And it seems like people are coming out of the woodworks, you know, and be like, oh yeah. Oh, I love Monster Hunter, you know? So many people are really into this game. I even went to PAX West and saw kind of one of the first previews, you know, for it that you could play. And I was going to, but the line was really long, and I was like, I don't want to do that. So
that's fair.
But back to it. Yeah, I'm not about that life, but
the beta.
Dude, line life is the worst, man. Segue real quick. The only line I waited for was for Sparkling Zero, and there was 2 people in front of me when I got in line, and I waited in there for all of 3 seconds. So,
man, that's harsh.
There you go. It was great. Yeah, that was a rough time. Anyway, back to Monster Hunter Wilds, man. The beta provided a few main pieces to experience throughout it. Character creation, story trial, and I'm probably going to say a lot of these monsters wrong, but Dashaguma hunt. Beyond that, there was also an opportunity to fight a lot more monsters in the open servers alongside your friends or with other members in the server. There was the Chatacabra. It's like a really beefy frog-like monster. Balahara, which is like kind of like the monster from Tremors a little bit. And the biggest and baddest one of all, the Raidal, which was a huge apex predator that was like flying through the sky. It was cool. I died a couple of times to that guy, but still fun. So I'll kind of break down each piece. So character creation, so much to go through. I'm not a huge character creation guy because I feel like it gets so extensive, you know.
I've heard so many good things about the character creation in that game.
It's really good, like really good. And I mean, hair, eyes, teeth, you know, makeup, scars, colors, symmetry, textures, everything. Aki, if you like.
I think it was last week I raided our friend Doc Havoc, who was playing the beta, and he was like 40 minutes into a stream when I raided, and he was still making his character. And I stayed in there for at least a half hour to 45 minutes, and he was still making a character.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, character creation in that game is ridiculous. And yeah, all I did was bald hair and beard. Yay, I'm done.
Yeah, for this kind of game, the character creation is like a few hours long you can spend in it if you like character customization like I do. I'd spend forever in this.
You would love it then, Aki, because there is a lot. I mean, everything from hair, I think there was like 20 or 30 different hairstyles and face tattoos and scars and makeup. And I mean, it was like overwhelming for me, you know.
I went to like eye shape, and I thought they would just have like a bunch of presets, and it was just like fucking 30 sliders of every minute detail of the eye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you can shift to exact your liking. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
I think I just came a little.
You know, it was a free beta, right, Aki?
Yeah, you could have.
Yeah, I'm interested in the character creation, and that's about where my interest in that game is.
Yeah, you could have just done that.
That could have been honestly, that could be a game on itself, because there was so much to it. I tend to shy away from it. I had a buddy. So actually, the character you create too, once you go into the full game, you can load your character into the full game as well. I had a buddy that made a very ridiculous looking character. He had a big Fu Manchu, you know, and it kind of shows it like blowing in the wind too, you know. And then we're like, hey man, you know that goes to the full game too, right? And he's like, oh no, what? I thought this was just for the beta. So yeah, you can get really
you can start over in the full game, but yeah, it's cool that the character you create will carry over if you want to.
I saw a couple of things that looked like you could change it as well, like tweak a few things here and there, but I didn't really explore that side of things. I was more interested in gameplay. The character creation is cool to me. It's very extensive. I tend to go with like long hair, a beard, pretty much looks like myself on that. They didn't have an eye patch, which I was kind of upset about, so I did different colored eyes and then some cool face tattoos, but... you can also customize your Palico, your like little kitty companion that like goes and grabs stuff for you and helps you in battle and stuff. So that was cool. I think I spent more time on the Palico designing the kitty than I actually did my personal character. So if you're into that. For those who are also new to the series, like myself, the game starts off with a little story quest to kind of help understand some of the basics. Your journey is kind of interrupted by a child who is seen being chased by monsters on the open plains, and your character heroically jumps off their airship. I don't know if it's necessarily an airship. It was like sailing through the sand, so I don't know how that works. But jumps onto this creature called a Sacret. Think like a Tauntaun from Star Wars, but it's got a lot more feathers. And then you kind of distract the monsters, rescue the kid along with their family, and you do all that through this kind of beginner monster hunt, which again kind of teaches the basics of riding, attacking, and later gets into picking your first weapon. For myself, I went with the insect glaive, which is kind of a sword, and it's got a little like beetle attached to it, and it flies and collects parts of the monster. And then that kind of helps it power up and deal a much more bigger attack. It turned out to be a much more advanced weapon than I realized, but I feel like a lot of the weapons in Monster Hunter feel very like easy to learn but hard to master. I don't know, Joe, if you've ever played Monster Hunter, but do you feel that way too?
I played a little bit of Monster Hunter World. Was it the last or no? Yeah, World, the last one.
Rise, I think, was the last one, but World was the last, like, real
popular. Yeah, the last big one on Xbox One. I can only really get into these games when I pick a fast weapon. Like, I need to do dual blades on these games. I know they like to start you off with the big fuck-all sword, and it's just too slow for me. Like, you miss a shot, and... it's hard to recover, and you just get knocked around. I need to have quick strike weapons in the Monster Hunter games to really get into them.
That's true. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Yeah, I like any of those like sword and shield style games. You know, I like something fast. I like to get in there, attack real quick. Yeah, otherwise,
they let you pick which one, like right off the bat, right?
Yeah, they which was nice too, because you talk to one of the characters and they kind of give you options, which is really cool. They're like, hey, do you like a faster weapon, slower weapon? Do you want heavier hits? You know, and you kind of tier it off until they go, okay, I think this one would be good for you. You know. Nice. And I mean, that's how I got the insect glaive. I didn't really know anything about it. You know, my buddy was like, oh, that's a very advanced weapon. You know, I was like, oh, well, I enjoyed it. I don't know. I'm sure there's a ton to it that I had no idea about, you know, but I thought that was really neat, you know, and then you can also kind of go through and like pick each weapon, try it out on some monsters or barrels and stuff like that around there too. But there's 14 weapons in total. So lots to pick from, lots of different abilities and styles of play through that. So that was really neat. But yeah, you can go through and pick and choose which one kind of works best for you. Each weapon does offer a variety of attacks and focus mode, which is a new weapon mechanic that is coming to Wilds. This allows the player to unleash more powerful focus attacks. In focus mode, you'll notice wounds on the monster. And you can attack those wounds to deal increased damage, or you can perform a strong focus strike and deal a massive amount of damage at one time to the monster too. So that's kind of a new thing along with Wilds. Along with the intro story and a little beginner monster hunt is a slightly more advanced mission, the Dashaguma hunt. Dashagumas kind of remind me of those, you know, those like big chow chow dogs. They kind of look like one of those, but like much bigger, really ugly, you know, kind of. So, I think those dogs are cute, but these ones are kind of ugly. And they roam the lands in herds. So you can go hunt this Dashaguma solo or with a team. But first you're kind of tasked with splitting up the herd and hunting down the alpha. It's an open server-based game, and so players can kind of randomly join in on a fight, or you can call them in from your friends list, or there's also an SOS flare that you can use and call a bunch of random people to come help you, too. And then the game also scales based on how many people are in your party, so nothing really gets easier with more people. It's just kind of a more satisfying battle, which I thought was really cool. I don't want to get a bunch of people in there and just like, you know, totally destroy a monster. I want to still be a fight, you know? So that was kind of neat to learn about too. You can use items such as like dung pods, which split up the herd. You can do like carefully planned attacks. There's traps. You can lure other monsters in to like help split up other monsters as well. And bigger monsters will fight the monster you're trying to fight too. That it's all really neat, you know, mechanics. So, and I'm learning about all these things too as I'm going. But and the game is all about hunting monsters, so hence the name. So plan on fighting a lot in order to craft new materials and items. None of the crafting was really available in the beta. You could pick up items and kind of monster parts and go through like some very basic stuff, but most of it was just harvesting things, which you can do if you're running around, or you can actually grab stuff while riding your secret as well too. I don't know what half of the items are used for. I started noticing like some items were like auto combining to make things, which I thought was really cool. I know like multiple herbs make a potion, and then like potions and honey or herbs and honey make like a super potion. So I thought that was really neat. Again, like not a lot of it was available in the beta. Tons of smaller enemies are seen in the game as well, like all over the place. They really like expand on the environment too. So it's not just big monsters. It's like a whole ecosystem. Makes everything visually incredible. Scenery was amazing. The game looks beautiful. Variety of plants and wildlife, deserts, plains, mountains, caves, small encampments of the people who live there, you know. And then everything's changing too. So it's got natural kind of weather patterns that roll through and a sequence of seasons too. So there's like times when resources are thriving and abundant. And then there's times when like there's not as many items, and you'll kind of see like everything like gray skies, you know, monsters get a little more aggressive. And then there's like a big storm that happens every once in a while. And that Ray Dao, the big apex predator, you know, comes down with like lightning strikes and starts attacking everything. And lightning strikes are pretty brutal, too. They attack, you know, they like kill monsters and they kill the player, too. So you got to avoid that. But again, I'm like new to Monster Hunter. So this was really awesome, you know, getting to play this. But I honestly feel like I really scratched the surface on what's available at full release. Like even talking with my friends, I found out there were so many little things that I missed, or like I didn't quite understand. You know, I was kind of talking about that insect glaive, you know, and how much more advanced it was than I was actually using with it, you know. And I mean, honestly, I think I might have to start playing like a previous Monster Hunter game until this one comes out, you know, like fully get the gist. But I love the little slice I got from it. I thought it was awesome.
Cool. Well, the game is going to be $69.99 when it launches in February. They also have some various deluxe and premium editions that have in-game goodies if you were into customization and all that fun stuff. What are your thoughts on it? Should people wishlist this one? Should they pre-order it? Should they keep their eyes on it? What are your thoughts?
I myself am going to get it. I know a lot. I mean, like I said, a lot of people are coming out of the woodworks and going, yeah, I love Monster Hunter. So they're very excited, which makes me more excited. You got a bunch of people to play with, open servers, you know, so even if your friends can't join, you got a bunch of randoms to go hunt monsters with. I'm going to get it. I might have to take maybe like a couple of weeks off from the SML podcast just to focus on monster hunting, you know? So
you could get it and then play it and then come and talk about it.
I could. I would talk. They would be the only game I would talk about every Tuesday, so, though.
It'd be like Elden Ring this past year.
Yeah. I'd be like, listen, guys.
Where you had Elden Ring segments for like two straight months.
I would totally be down for that. I'd be like, listen, this time I played the Desert Plains. Oh my gosh. So I fought this monster and then I crafted this item and I used this weapon. And yeah, no, I'm stoked for it. Yeah, I would say if you're into Monster Hunter, this is more Monster Hunter, which I'm excited about. I think it looks cool. It plays like really well, you know. And I'm really like looking forward to like learning about it too. It's fun.
Cool. And if you have Game Pass, Monster Hunter Rise is on Game Pass.
Ooh.
So there you go.
You asked about the pre-order stuff too. It looked like any like pre-order bonuses were just like the deluxe editions and things too were cosmetic related.
Yeah.
So somebody like Aki who loves that cosmetic side to it, I would say yes, go for it, you know. But I don't think I'm gonna get like the deluxe version or anything like that. So,
but there's cute, pretty things to make your character cuter and prettier. Why?
It's true. I mean, I you know, you gotta like upgrade your armor and change yourself too and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's fun. It's just I don't dive too far into that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Tisk, tisk.
All right. Well, Andy, that is it for you. Thank you, as always, for coming on, hanging out with us.
Hell yeah.
You have any final thoughts before we let you go?
Pick up some monster hunting. Call me up. Let's go kill one of these Dasha Gumas or something. That'd be sick.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, take it easy, man.
I have a question before you head off.
Of course.
For the Tremor-looking critters,
yeah.
Do you have any bombs that you can throw in their mouth and explode them?
So I personally didn't get into the bomb side of things, but I did see people using bombs.
I just want him to be able to throw a bomb out and blow its head up. Just because it's like a Tremor. I love that shit, that movie.
Tremors is fantastic. I started that one the other day again, but we didn't get too far in. I don't know how it goes with like throwing bombs into like monsters' mouths or anything. I know we were fighting a monster, and because the monsters kind of run around, and then they'll like, you know, you'll fight them for a little bit and then they'll run away and they'll try to like sleep, I think, to like restore mm-hmm. health. And so a couple people were placing bombs next to them while they were sleeping.
Yeah, the AI will do that too.
yeah. So but as far as throwing it into the mouth, I don't know. Once the game comes out, maybe that would be one of my tasks, you know.
Yes, that is now an assignment I have given you.
Heck yeah. Awesome.
Anything else, Aki?
No, I just really wanted to know the Tremor thing, because the moment that was brought up, that's literally all I could think of.
I'll find out for you. We'll figure it out together.
Awesome.
Cool, dance.
Cool. Well,
have a wonderful show. I'll be lurking.
Cool. Have a good one.
Night, sir.
Later.
Next game to talk about is Shin-Chan Shiro and the Coal Town, developed by Hand Inc., published by Neos Corporation. Released October 23rd on Switch for $39.99, Steam for $29.99. Shin-Chan starts a mysterious daily routine, traveling between two worlds, the village in Akita and Coal Town. Aki, what is this game?
Okay, so this is a game based on a manga and anime series called Shin-Chan. It's made for I Have No Idea, because it deals with a lot of adult topics and pervy stuff, but the character that you play as and follow is a 5-year-old. So it's just a mix of too adult for kids, and you're still seeing everything through the eyes of a child, so it's weird for an adult to play too. So it's a very weird series. But anyways, you and your family have gone out for your dad's work / vacation. He's going around to different places apparently to create new regional food stuffs. And the area where you are is where he's trying to get stuff from this region to create new foodstuffs. And yeah, you are Shin-Chan, a 5-year-old, and you have the IQ of a turnip. So, you know, you're going around, you're hunting bugs and fishing, which is actually really fucking fun. And you're dealing with other kids and helping adults occasionally with some things like, oh, my pet's missing, and they make it sound like it's a cat, but it's actually a shrimp. That's the level of what's going on here, typically, is just, it's very low stakes stuff. And you eventually find your way into this place called Coal Town, and you are tasked with saving the town by doing tiny little things to help other people. You know, you start off with, oh, let's help this inventor get the items that she needs to complete this, whatever the hell she's building. And that's generally what you're doing most of the time in Coal Town, is you're finding items for her to help somebody, which improves everyone's life to some degree. Everyone really starts respecting you a lot, partially because you have your dog Shiro, who is a white dog, and it is seen as massive good luck in that town for some reason they haven't fully explained yet. And you apparently resemble somebody who, like, you resemble the people who built this town way back in the beginning or something. You just had the features, I guess, of them, even though I am sure you're in no way related to them whatsoever, because Shin-Chan is, he exists. As y'all might be able to guesstimate, I am not a particular fan of Shin-Chan himself or the show, just because I find him annoying. This would be right up Jacob's alley, because it's something that, if you're going to enjoy, you're probably really high. Which is fair.
He wanted to cover this, but we got in on Steam instead of Switch. Yeah. So.
And I think he would like this, because he gets high enough, he probably would think the everything about this is absolutely genius. And I, you know, that's almost everyone I knew growing up who liked the show. They were all potheads, so I fully support that for this. But I was so ready just to hate this game and everything about it. And damned it if it isn't fun to play anyways. And that... I was so mad. Because there was a game me and Bree both reviewed a few months ago, I think, where you were playing as a kid whose family owned a circus, and it was his summer break. This is basically that game, but there's no time constraints in this one, unlike there was there, where you only had X amount of time to do everything. This one... it's just a forever thing. Yes, it's for summer, but summer just doesn't end. Instead, you actually have to do stuff to further the main story for it to actually move forward. Otherwise, you're just there forever, which is great when all you really want to do is catch bugs and fish, because that is really fun. And I know y'all are probably thinking, that is so little of the game. That it actually isn't, because most of the things you're doing for people is catching these things for them to so they can, or trading it to them or what have you. So you're finding minerals occasionally, you're picking up plants, you're catching bugs, fishing. I think there's something else you get, but I don't remember what it is anymore. And you, during the day, you can trade them to other people via a board, and both towns have them. And they'll give you other things. Sometimes it's foodstuffs, sometimes it's other fish and bugs, what have you. And beyond that, you're just going around and just talking to people most of the rest of the time. Every time you move from one screen to another, it forwards time a little bit. It's not a lot, it's just a little bit. You can go through like 20-ish screens or so before it hits nighttime and you need to go back home and go the fuck to bed. Which is great, because it's nice and slow. I was expecting to move pretty quickly, and it just didn't. It was nice, it was chillax, I really liked that. I was able to catch a lot of bugs that way, and it makes my life so much happier. You do have the ability to run. You will probably never use it. Not because it's not useful, but because more than half the time you do, Shin-Chan yells, "PewDiePie! PewDiePie!" And that will very quickly make you want to shoot yourself. I can promise you that. I muted the voices of the game because of that, because it was driving me out of my mind. But yeah, other than that, the game's been really fun. There's not really a big... Oh, there is the overarching story of, oh, you need to save this coal town, but it's not like a major focus, I guess I would say, which is kind of weird since it's the main story. It's not a big focus. This is just like, just chill, have fun, and whenever you get to the main story bits, we'll continue it some, you know, whatever. Take your time, no one cares. I am so for that with this style of game. That's exactly what I want from these style of games. I don't want to be like, oh yeah, we want you to do all this stuff. You have 50 days to do it. Have fun. And oh yeah, the day ends after like an hour of gameplay. Enjoy.
Yeah, I don't like time limited stuff.
Yeah, it's very stressful. So stressful. And this game's just like, you know, whenever you want to continue the story, we're telling you, you need to go to this area. So, you know, until you go to that area, this area isn't moving. Have fun the rest of the time. Do whatever the hell you want. And you're not even locked into like, oh, you have to go here in the morning. No, it's just whenever you show up, that's when we'll continue it. And hey, if you don't get the whole thing finished this day, well, you can continue it tomorrow or in a week, whatever. We don't care. Just enjoy. I loved that aspect.
It sounds like you did enjoy this despite not liking Shin-Chan. So I got to ask, we got to talk price. It's $30 on Steam, $40 on the Switch. What do you think about Shin-Chan, Shiro, and the Coal Town?
I am totally for this, as shocking as that is for me to say about Shin-Chan. I 100%. This is a fantastic little game. It is so cute, and it is a nice chillax game. If you like chill games, this is definitely for you. If you don't, then there's something wrong with you, but eh. Go buy it.
Cool. All right, next up is Biomorph, developed and published by Lucid Dreams Studio. This one released back on April 5th on Steam for $19.99. Biomorph is a dark Metroidvania game where you become the creatures that you kill, solve ingenious puzzles, and navigate a stunning hand-drawn world. Meet quirky characters, rebuild a city, and uncover the secrets of a sprawling fallen civilization and of your own mysterious origins. Brunel, what is Biomorph?
All right, let's see how I do. Reviewing games today. Good chance. All right, so in this game, you play as a character by the name of Harlow. He is a character who has the traditional amnesia, what am I doing here, blah, blah, blah vibe going on, where he wakes up inside of a what seems to be a laboratory, and he immediately decides he needs to get the heck out of there. He has some companions that are also, I guess, like his gauntlets and his headpiece who speak to him. I have no idea what their names are because I'm not remembering that. And they have a general vibe where they communicate with each other as for exposition purposes as the game progresses. But during this escape process, you immediately start to learn the things that Harlow has at his disposal in order to make progress. Off the bat, he doesn't even have a default attack. Instead, what happens is eventually, as you progress through the game, you will get access to a variety of objects that are referred to as chips. These chips can be slotted into your either X, Y, or B slots to give you various attack functions, with your first and easiest to use being a general melee combo of punches. This one, unlike the others, don't have a limited use per save, so you're basically incentivized to use that one as an almost default equip. But you'll get a bunch of other attacks as you progress through the game that can be slotted by way of chips. In addition to that, eventually you'll come across an enemy that you have to beat the crap out of using your newfound knuckle punchers. And once you beat this monster up, Harlow discovers that he is capable of, I guess the best way to describe it is replicating the DNA layout of the creature he killed, thereby becoming that creature. By doing so, weird. It gives you... It's pretty cool, though. I do like the idea behind it. Once you've done this, you become the monster of which you killed. You can't do this for every monster, but most of the monsters that I've come across, you can do this for. Once you've beaten the monster and you've become it, you gain access to all the abilities that monster has. Initially, you can only become the monster when you absorb its DNA at that particular time. As in, you see the corpse, you absorb its body, DNA, and you become it. But the game keeps track of every type of that monster you've absorbed. So as to say, just because you've absorbed it in this screen, or even if you've absorbed it already within the same screen you're on, if you kill another monster of that type, you want to absorb its actual DNA. Because once you've absorbed enough copies of it, you take ownership of that monster form, and you can become it whenever you want, so long as you've equipped it at a nearby save point or whatever. The one downside I have to this mechanic is that most of the monster forms are fairly non-versatile, as in you're not going to just run around and go, man, I love that hulking guy with the beam head. I'm going to use him the whole game. Nah. You're pretty much not going to do that. Harlow is far more versatile than pretty much any monster form you'll ever come across. However, it's not all bad, because it does make for some curious puzzle solving. You'll come across a room that has a ledge that you just can't quite reach, and whereas in most Metroidvania games, the solution is, I'll eventually get the double jump ability, and that'll get me up there. Question. In this game, yes, 42.
Wrong answer.
It's never the wrong answer.
It always is. Are you able to equip more than one monster type, or is it just one? Because you said you take ownership of it, and you can become it any time if you equip it. Is it just one you can equip? Question.
That's a very good question. And the answer is no. You can equip up to three at a time.
Nice.
And then switch to them as you see fit, as long as you have them equipped. Now, you can't swap them out of the rotation unless you're at a save point, but otherwise, yes, you can equip three monsters and then equip and then use them as needed. But again, to do so, you have to have absorbed enough DNA of that monster type through your exploration. And even once you get the monster form, mind you, that's not a reason unknown to not absorb monsters in the wild anymore, because you still will improve that monster form by way of absorbing more beyond your initial learn. And you kind of get previews of what you'll gain by doing so, because sometimes you'll come across a monster in the field that has a bit of like an aura around it. Think of an electrical charge of sorts. That monster is an evolved form of that species type. So his attacks might be stronger, or might move a little faster, or just might be something strangely different about it that you need to be mindful of when you see that electrical aura sparkling around it. But on one hand, I kind of hate that I'd be walking around. It's like, even though I've beaten the monster, I got to stop and slow down and just absorb this random monster, because why not? But trade-off to that is I do enjoy, it's got that weird Pokemon vibe where it's like, gotta assimilate them all, I guess, where you see a monster that you haven't beaten up before, you're like, I got to catch that one. I got to take that one on, because I got to build up my meters. And it scratches that itch for the people who like to max out gauges and meters, or in board game form, you like to max out tracks. I want to max out every monster in the game. I got to get all of them, beat every one of them, and absorb their DNA. So that's kind of fun there. Also, you might find yourself going, man, I found the monster that gets me to that point if I had his ability, but I can't get that monster ability in this room. Which means now you got to go around and find all of them, as many of them as you could, so you can become the monster wherever you want, so you can take it back there and then hop up on the ledge or whatever you want to do. It's got its own level of addiction to it. And there's other aspects of the game that you'll be working on too as you play. Like, there's a main hub town where you'll be fulfilling a multitude of side quests. Those side quests can get you items, whether you can equip them as part of your weapon chips, or as far as like your monsters go, or your mementos, which could be like sub abilities, like the basic things like magnetism, where it brings all the currency that you knock out of monsters directly to you, and stuff like that. Various things. Like, one of my favorites is ones that refill your air quotes Estus flask like devices when you take damage, whereas normally you only refill them when you beat monsters up. Which, by the way, did I mention this is Souls-like in that sense, where when you die, all of your currency gets left where you last died at, and you have one life to get back there and collect it? Because if I didn't, I just did. You're welcome. So you have those things there. There is, again, the town aspect, where you'll find blueprints as you explore, and if you take it back to the main hub or the main town, you can have those buildings and facilities built up in the town to improve it, giving you more functionality with which to engage with your Blightmore community. Is that the best way to put it? If it isn't, too bad, I said it. I feel like the main hook of this game lies in the title-based mechanic, as in, I already mentioned it, but I'm going to just mention it again, lies in the actual assimilation of different monsters and using them to solve various puzzles. Because you're not necessarily just looking for the ability that you will have for all time. Instead, you'll look for the monster that does the thing. And in some cases, the monster's ability is in the same room, so you don't even have to care. But then other times it won't be. And now you want to make sure you know, oh, that's the hopping guy. I need the hopping guy here, which means now you have to keep track of where you found old secrets you couldn't reach before, so you can use your newfound abilities to get there. Which, by the way, one thing this game does that I wish more games freaking did, it allows you to take a screenshot of things you want to remember. So it's not just marking the map. You can take an actual screenshot of the room you're in, or the screen you're on, rather, so you can see exactly why you marked this spot. You'll be able to press the button and go, oh, this wall was lined with spikes, so I can't go back until I find an ability that lets me traverse wall spikes. more Metroidvanias, more action platformers, more adventure platformers. All of you jerks, do this. It can't have that much memory. I don't know why it is that like one in every 20 does this, but this is a freaking genius endeavor that makes exploration so much easier. And if you don't want to do it because you want people to take notes, just tell us that too. I respect that. But if that's not your intent, put a goddamn screen capture in your game because it makes this thing so much better. And you can store a lot. Like, I think there's like 20 of them you can store or so. So they're very generous with that, too. I want to say, I wish I could tell you what the narrative was about, because, but frankly, I don't give two craps about the narrative. I just don't. I know Harlow's trying to save some things, and he comes across a town, and he wants to get back into the lab he escaped from, and they're like, restore four cylinders with electrical juice, which just results in you fulfilling side quests for people and getting rewards. Which, isn't that what we all want? To fulfill side quests for people and get rewarded for it? I do. And frankly, I've been trying to for many years. What did I get out of it? I think I got a quart of water ice at one point, but I digress. this game is pretty good. I felt myself enjoying the exploration. One more thing about the exploration I like. When you discover all the secrets in a particular map section, they border the room on the map with a gold outline, telling you flat out, you found everything this room has to offer. Again, this is great. I prefer this to the find X item that lets you go back and find old things. The hell with that. Just let me know a room is clear. That's pretty freaking awesome. Stop making me waste my time. It's golden. Do more of that. This game is good. I enjoy playing it. I enjoy upgrading my chips and upgrading my biomorph creatures that I've discovered. I enjoy finding new secrets in this game, and I enjoy just spotting things that stick out of the ordinary for me. And even the combat's fun, because between the chips and the biomorph abilities, Harlow has a very versatile kit at his disposal for combating baddies. And what more could I want in an action platformer than that? Don't answer that, because I'll be upset. This game is good. I'll stop talking.
Really well on the deck as well. Is that true?
Absolutely does. I played exclusively on the Steam Deck, and I've had zero problems with it.
Very nice. Biomorph clocks in at $19.99. What are your thoughts on this one?
I believe that even amongst the sea of Metroidvanias, God, why did I fucking say that? Even amongst the sea of action-adventure platformers, this game still deserves a place in your library, because I think the biomorph mechanic makes it fairly unique in the sea of this genre in existence. So I give this a hearty buy it.
Cool. Sounds good. Next up, Garten of Banban 6, developed by Euphoric Brothers, published by Feardemic, released October 31st on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5 for $9.99. After the events of Garten of Banban 4, you are forced to run away and delve even deeper into the mysterious establishment that is Banban's kindergarten. You're heading down to where no human dares to be. Aki, what is going on in Banban 6?
Well, in this, you are continuing to look for your kids and dealing with a bunch of mascots that have come alive that are evil incarnate, but sometimes are functionally still people. For this, it continues after 4, because they didn't make a 5, because these people can't count. And, I don't feel bad about saying that. I don't like it when a company just skips a number. It drives me crazy.
What, like Goat Simulator?
Yes, it drives me nuts. I fucking hate that it goes 1, 3. It's 2.
And now remaster.
It drives me nuts. I hate it.
Explain the missing 5? Like, is that part of the story?
No, they just did it because they could. I assume it's the same way, it's the same reason Goat Simulator did 3 instead of 2. Because, fuck it, why not? It gets people talking.
Is that your rating?
Sure, if you want me to be nice.
So tell us, like, what's going on in 6?
Okay, this game's going to take you about an hour-ish, hour and a half, something like that to beat, I think. Somewhere around there. It continues after four. Darkness has come to the land after being unleashed from a kangaroo pouch because the kangaroo laughed. Don't try to make sense of the story. You'll give yourself an aneurysm. And it is starting to hunt you and everyone else. And you are trying to get to the next platform to go down. To try and find a scepter to banish the darkness and the critters in it from the lands. Or something like that. So you're going around trying to turn on different lit up areas, because if you're in the dark too long, critters will come and eat your face. And in these different areas are basically you're unable to unlock a part of the door. It requires five different buttons to be pushed to fully unlock the door so you can continue your journey to find your children's. I don't believe you actually have children. I think you have lost your mind here or something. But yeah, the game actually plays well for once. It does have one irritation I found. You have to push and seemingly hold in the thumbstick in order to run, which you do a lot of in this game because otherwise you are slower than molasses.
It's a hold to run and not a toggle to run.
Yeah, it starts to hurt the thumb real bad, real quick, especially with, you know, sections.
Now I know why your controllers break.
That's part of the reason, that's for sure. And yeah, it's I don't know why that seems to be the case, because anytime I tried just to click it and run, it didn't keep me running. And that's something that existed in the first and second game, or at least in the second game. I didn't replay the first because it was a demo. But the second game, you click it and you just run. I don't know why that didn't seem to work in six, because that is, you know,
is it in the settings maybe? Is there an option for a toggle? No.
No, the settings in these games are very basic. And, how can I say this politely? These games are, most mascot games are, they exist because one set of mascot games got real big, Five Nights at Freddy's. So everyone wanted to cash in on that. And not everyone wanted to put in the effort to do that.
Ouch.
And when that happens, you get games like this. These have steadily improved, so they did start putting some effort into it as they continue. The first games are fucking abysmal. But the last two of them haven't been terrible. The story is basically paper thin. Graphically, it's not amazing, but at least it stays consistent throughout the game, so whatever. I don't think these are particularly good games. As for starter games, like, hey, yeah, I'm just brand new to this. This is my first game. I know it's pretty basic. Sure, for a company that's made a bunch of these, maybe not so much anymore. But it's fine for what it is. It's just not much.
Yeah, I'm looking at the original game release dates on Steam, and it was like the first one released January 2023 and the seventh one released May 24.
Yeah, these are,
so there's six games in a year and a half.
Yeah, these are what we refer to as cash grabs. They exist. Almost every mascot game that exists is one, sadly.
No.
Because they, you know, hey, this worked. Let's get in there as quick as we can. Pump out a bunch of stuff. Kids will probably play this and we'll make some money. Is generally how most of these are. And in my opinion, that's what this series at least started out as. I think it started to evolve a little bit, but it's it's going to be a long time before it evolves too far beyond that, and I don't know if the series is going to continue.
Well, there is a 7, so we'll see if that one comes to Xbox in the future. Maybe we'll check that one out, but as it stands, number 6 at $10, and the series in general, what do you think?
I would suggest play the first one. It's a demo. It's free. If you legitimately are like, ooh, I really like this, consult a doctor and get the rest of them, I guess. If you don't like it, that is the rest of the games. They're just longer bits of more of that.
Yeah.
So try the demo first. If you like it, go for it, I guess. For everyone else, it's real hard to suggest. These are short games. The plots barely existent and very incoherent, and the gameplay is kind of very meh. So I would otherwise pass on these. They're not particularly great games.
Yeah.
Especially the earlier ones. They are just it.
Well, if people are interested in the earlier ones, like you mentioned, episode 1 is free to download. Episodes 2 and 3 are $5 each, and the rest are $10 each. So do with that information as you will. But we got one final game to talk about tonight, and that is Vampire Hunters, developed and published by GameCraft Studios, released October 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $14.99. To hunt vampires, you'll need guns, lots of guns. Mow down vampires, demons, and more by stacking your guns into absurd, impossibly awesome builds. Unleash your firepower and become the baddest vampire hunter in this roguelite survivors FPS. Purnell, tell us, what is Vampire Hunters?
Don't be like me. I keep calling it Vampire Survivors. I know it's not Vampire Survivors, but it doesn't change a damn thing.
I was going to say.
Right? See, exactly. Even you thought it. He just said Hunters. You're like, Survivors? I don't know why. In fact, I don't even know if there's any vampires in the freaking game, because I've not seen a single one. But I digress. But
it's a totally different game than Survivors.
Oh, it's absolutely different. Doesn't stop the confusion, though, by Dave. It's almost like the Wii and the Wii U all over again over here. I don't fucking know. But what I do know is that Vampire Hunters is more than just a dopey gimmick of guns wrapping around the entire perimeter, of the outer perimeter of the screen. It's actually a fun game, too. It is a run-based roguelike. Now, I want to call it roguelike in that sense because it's run-based, because roguelike implies more depth than what this game does. So I'll just call it a run-based action first-person shooter where you are tasked with killing a lot of shit and hopefully not dying in the process. Spoiler alert, you're going to die, but it's a matter of how long it takes for that to happen. You start out by picking a character. It can be a number of them. I mean, it's like vampire hunter guy, weird Valkyrie woman person, 3 unlockable characters, and then one other guy who I don't remember, because for as much as I played the game, I stuck with 2 people, the 2 I just named by description. And once you've chosen them, you are tasked with being dumped into a level. This level is a large arena that has a multitude of passageways, a verticality, and I don't want to so much say secrets, and if there are any developers, please tell me, because I didn't find a single secret. I just know what I found, and that was panic, because the moment the game starts, enemies will start to show up. They spawn from a variety of different locations on the map, and you are trying to murder them. On occasion, a monster will drop a soul. These souls are the currency which are used to level your character up, and upon reaching different levels, you will get to choose amongst a number of rewards. You know, typical run-based, roguelike, whatever the hell they want to call it these days, stuff. They call Vampire Survivors a roguelike. I'm curious. Is that what they call it?
Roguelike Survivors FPS.
No, not this one. I mean, like Survivors, like Vampire Survivors specifically, but they called it roguelike here too. So I guess that's enough to answer the question too. Because I was going to say, is this really a roguelike? I'm so lost at this point. Fucking time.
I think it's more light than like, but I'm always confused with which is what, Chris, which is the difference between roguelike and roguelite?
Typically a roguelike will start you all over again at the very beginning of like the dungeon with level one, no items, no like, you know, but roguelites have a kind of cumulative build, like either experience points or a loadout or weapons you get to keep.
I think my problem is I get caught up in the whole, when I think roguelike, I get caught up in the whole, you got to be in some weird dungeon or map or something, not shooting dudes in a first person view in an arena.
Here's what helps me is Toe Jam and Earl is a roguelike RPG.
Like, that makes sense, because that game, you're going from arena floor to arena floor. So that's
how exactly. Right. Yeah. But you gain levels and you pick up items that are randomized every game. And when you start exactly from square one. So like that's a good way to kind of think to take yourself out of the RPG element of it, or rather the typical like view of what a roguelike RPG kind of is, you know.
Gotcha. Like
I don't know. Works for me.
No, you did a great job. I was just going to apologize to the developer if they're listening, because we took an aside there, but it was worth it because I liked conversing about it. But now back to the game. So you will, when you kill enough enemies that drop enough orbs and then you connect enough orbs, you will level up. And this will gain you the opportunity to either acquire a new gun or an accessory that can be used as like a modifier for yourself, or like a sub-weapon, or I guess what you could call like a tertiary weapon, which is interesting in this game. That's what it would be, a primary weapon, a secondary weapon, and a tertiary weapon. Which is a rarity that a game offers tertiary weapons. When it comes to the primary weapons, those are represented by the guns. And whereas in most games, you can equip up to two guns because you got two hands. For whatever reason, in this game, you are a freaking octopus and you're carrying like 8 to 10 guns. So when you get a new gun that's not currently in your inventory, or even if it is now that I think about it, they will slot it into one of your unfilled slots. Now, if you come across a gun that is a advanced version of a gun you already have, it'll be like a level 2 version or level 3 or level 4 or what have you, when you pick that gun, it will replace a gun that you've already got of the same type. So you can't fill an empty slot with an upgraded gun. The upgraded slot or upgraded gun has to replace a older, weaker version of the same gun. The sub-weapons will be kind of slotted into the left and right center sides of the screen, and the tertiary weapons are on the top center of the screens. Top left and top right of the screen. The game, which I've honestly admittedly never turned off because it's just hilarious that it's even an option, it has an auto-fire option, and it's on by default. So when that is on, if you see enemies and the game knows that you're looking at enemies, it's going to shoot everything that hasn't needed to be reloaded. If you got bullets, it's going to shoot it, which means you will overkill some absolute nobodies. But that won't matter after the first minute because enemies will flop onto that scene like nobody's freaking business. It gets crazy fast. Treasure chests will spawn on the map at different places too, where if you find them and open them up, you'll get instant level up bonuses like I just described, but you don't have to level up to get them. Eventually, bosses will spawn onto the map, and there are a variety of different bosses, depending on the level you go to. I don't know, because this might surprise you to hear, despite the fact that I was reviewing a game, but I actually played this game for like 7 hours and never left the first map because I just was really into it. I don't know how to describe it. It was just, I wanted to do better and I just kept going. I didn't need a new map. I was happy with the one that they give you to start. Yeah, I just kept going. So I don't know if the bosses are level specific or if it's just bosses that will spawn regardless of the map you're on, but they will come out. First, you'll fight one boss, and hopefully you kill it quickly enough, because eventually the game will spawn two bosses at once. and there's no balance between which ones they give you. So if you're unlucky to find two bosses that complement each other well, well, you're just kind of fucked. But if you end up fighting, like, say, the Kappa Egg, well, you better get down there and kill it, because the Kappa Egg is a particularly hilarious boss. It's just an egg that runs around the map. And if you kill it in time, you win. If you don't kill it in time, it hatches into the Kappa King, and that thing is a complete jerk bag. So you got all kinds of weird stuff. There's a couple really cool bosses in this game, some of which I've been killed by without ever seeing what they actually looked like. And that makes me laugh my ass off just thinking about it. I was like, who killed me in something? I don't know. But when you actually eventually die, and again, to repeat, you will die, you will gain the ability to start again. But the meta progression in this roguelite is that you can spend currency you earn from your play to level up your characters. You can spend it to either level up their skill tree or to level up their permanent buffs. So it might be like, just like, how much health do they start with, or how far away can they pull items in from, stuff like that. There's 9 different things they can level up there, and the skill tree varies by the character. So I can't give you a general idea of how many nodes a character has in their skill tree. In addition to that, you can unlock some other things, like when a character levels up, they will unlock starting guns that they can begin their runs with, and you can swap them at will. You will level up and learn, I think that's mainly the main thing for leveling up a character, but after you fulfill certain achievements during your runs, you'll unlock different constellations, which can be equipped before a run to give you different, just call them modifiers. The one I used the most, believe it or not, was a modifier where it just kind of copied the previous weapon and accessories you earned in previous level ups, which meant that you only could get one gun type for every level up you got. So I would have 10 of the same gun, just splashing it in with one gun over and over. But at the same time, it took all the guesswork out of leveling up, because I knew what gun I was going to get, the same one. It wasn't, do I want area control or proximity based or rapid fire? I don't fucking know. I just want to kill things. I want to kill them fast. So I don't need to think. I just want to kill. Give me that thing. That was a great constellation. And there's like maybe 20 or 30 of the constellations. So there's a lot that you can unlock and use to kind of tweak your experience. This game surprised the crap out of me. Before I forget, as a guy who loves video game music, I like to mention that this game has a pretty solid OST, hitting some hard-hitting metal and rock. Maybe even some lighter BGM type stuff too. I wouldn't know though, because the game lets you select the track you want to play for a run. So once I heard 3 tracks I liked, I didn't listen to anything else. Why the hell bother? I had what I wanted. Burr, 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 every run, every time. And you can pick it. I love when games do that. It lets me customize my experience. Do more of that, game developers. This game does it. It's a winner. Anyway, back to what I was going to say for my closing argument, which is I feel as though Vampire Hunters, not Survivors, though that one probably gets the statement too, believe it or not, is a surprising experience that I did not expect when I looked at the box. I thought that, or not box, but you know, the eye catch. This game seemed like it wouldn't really scratch the right itch, just running on a gimmick of guns running the basically flooding the sides of your screen. But the end result is a pretty cool first-person shooter that has a lot of customization. And the gimmick scratches just the right itch that makes you feel like you want to get that one more run vibe. Which, by the way, when you're playing a roguelike or a roguelite, one more run is the primary measurement of, is this game an awesome title or not? And this game knocks that out of the park. I played this game for hours in one night. I think I've had this happen a few times on this show, where I start a game up like an idiot at 1 a.m. right before going to bed for work at 8 in the morning. And then I stay up till 4 or 5 playing it because I just want to do one more run. This game did that. So it gets the sleep deprivation award for me. I highly recommend it. I think you'll have a good time playing it. I think you'll have a good time going, what the fuck just happened? Why did that kill me? And then you'll watch Wrench repeat and do it again. I like this game a lot, and I think people should play it.
Cool. Well, it's $15. Give us your verdict.
A bona fide, solidified, give me mine, buy it.
Cool beans. Sounds good.
Yeah, cool guns too.
All right. Well, we're done with this episode. We made it through.
Hot diggity day.
Hot diggity indeed. Thanks to you three for being here, hanging out the whole time. Thanks for Andy for coming on, doing his thing. If the world doesn't end, we'll be back next episode with more of your favorite SML personalities.
Let's be real. Even if it does end next week, we'll still be here, but we'll be much more ridiculous about it.
Yeah, we'll probably be radioactive at that point. Once the nukes drop. Yeah.
Hey, Fallout Boy.
Yeah, music this episode is Fallout Boy. No, we're going to play REM. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
That is a great song.
I feel fine, so I'm drinking a 13% white Russian, baby.
For real, music. I think I'll play something from Tiberian Sons.
I like that.
I was serious about the end of the world. I was fully behind that.
We want to get taken down from YouTube. It's got to stay up, you see.
Yeah,
I guess. But what if the world ends? Then it doesn't matter. So we should play it anyways.
Hey, the mutants need entertainment.
Might be able to pull off End of the World by the band Cold.
There we go. Do that then.
I don't know if I know that one. I'm fine with that too then.
I'm just going to listen to Playing with Powers, Crystallis, medley, which includes the intro music we're in. October 1st, 1990.
But with that said, Crystallis, it begins with the end of the world. God damn it, yeah. You smart bastard. You were right.
October 1st, 1997, the end day.
Also, Crystallis is one of the best games ever. And I don't know how I still feel that way, but it's held up. I still think it is one of my all-time favorite games.
Yeah, it's one of my all-times. And like my second favorite NES game.
Which is great.
Super Mario 3.
Respect. Respect. One last question, because now I got to know. You put yourself in these shoes. World or 3?
What? Oh, 3.
My man. 3. That's why we get along. You know shit. Man, this guy. Look, 3 is by far my favorite. And I wish they would give that level of power variety back to Mario. Like, the level of which... I mean, maybe you'd agree with me on this, but there are more power-ups in that game you could ever need. Like, you'll never need the hammer suit. You'll never need the frog suit.
No,
but it was cool to have access to the things because they were fun.
Yeah, and it was kind of cool that they were temporary, too. Like, you know, you just use them one time instead of it just being, like, all the power-ups are in all the stages all the time. Kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, aside from if you played them from the Mushroom House or whatever, but otherwise, yeah, I agree. Like, it's just... having them when you had them, and they just did what they did.
It
just felt good. I want that back.
That would be nice. Anyway.
That's why it's kind of like a Super Mario Spectacular, where it's every power-up he's ever had in one game, and there's not even a balance effect to it. It's just, you want to have the bunny ears on a flat stage? Have them. We don't care.
I guess that would be Mario Maker, wouldn't it?
No, because they didn't have every power-up. They had a couple.
Oh.
Like, there was no Koopa Shell in that game, and I think it eventually had the cape on Mario Maker 2. I think they brought the cape in. But,
Gotcha.
But, like, yeah, I mean, like, every power. I want all the shit.
That would be cool. I don't know. Was that last words? I don't even know what we're doing.
I have no clue.
Okay.
Good night, everybody!
Everyone else got sick and watched the clock ticking slowly. Well, everyone knew the ending, opened the bag of tricks and stumbled over their own. They blew my arms away, sort of crippling, just like Von Dark. Now it's gone today. I'm so happy that it's on. Let's start. now it's full.